Welcome, deep divers. You've landed in the perfect spot because today we're embarking on a truly special journey. We're doing a deep dive into Kate DeCamillo's beloved children's novel because of Winn-Dixie. You've armed us with some great sources, a comprehensive Wikipedia entry, and a detailed analysis from study.com. And our mission is pretty clear. Cut through the noise, pull out the key info, and get you genuinely well-informed on this really impactful book. We're aiming to reveal some maybe surprising insights and explore its legacy. You know, how a story that seems simple actually holds incredible depth.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here, I think, is how seemingly straightforward children's literature like this can often hold some of the most profound truths. Truths about human connection, resilience, healing even.
Right.
This isn't just a, you know, charming story about a girl and her dog. It's really a powerful narrative about finding family and like building community where you least expect it.
Oh.
It goes pretty deep into the human experience.
And it's the unexpected depth that makes it so enduring, isn't it? It makes me wonder, though, how much of that comes directly from the author's own life. So let's start with Kate DeCamillo herself. We know she's a Newbery Award-winning author, right? Originally from Florida, but now lives up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, and her own life deeply inspired this story. Mm. Understanding that connection really unlocks some of its power, I think.
Hmm.
DeCamillo actually conceived the idea for Figuri because of Winn-Dixie during a particularly harsh Minnesota winter.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, she was feeling incredibly lonely, missing her family, missing her Florida hometown. And apparently she was desperately wishing she had a dog at the time.
Ah, makes sense.
So that personal longing for connection, for a companion, it directly fed into Opal's story. And it's also worth noting, DeCamillo herself was raised by a single parent, her mother. That's a detail she directly wove into Opal's background. So it connects the author's own experience of maybe an incomplete family to her protagonist's yearning.
That personal connection really comes through, doesn't it? So, okay, with that in mind, let's set the scene for Opal. Our protagonist, 10-year-old India Opal Baloney. She's just moved to this trailer park, small town Naomi, Florida, living with her father, who everyone calls a preacher because, well, he's the local minister.
Right.
And her mother abandoned them when Opal was only three. Opal describes her dad as a turtle, like always sticking his head into his shell, sort of reluctant to engage with the real world. What does that turtle thing really tell us?
It's such a poignant description, isn't it?
Yeah.
It immediately tells us pretty much everything we need to know about Opal's core problem.
Yeah.
This profound loneliness and these deep feelings of abandonment from her mother. The turtle image for her father, it's not just like a cute descriptor. It signifies his own retreat into grief, which makes him emotionally unavailable to his daughter, really.
Mm.
And moving to a new town only amplifies these feelings for Opal, especially since her father's often busy with his, you know, pastoral duties. Leaves her alone a lot. She's not just in a new physical space. She's kind of in an emotional desert, you know, longing for connection.
And that profound loneliness, it really sets the stage for everything to change. Because it's right then, in that vulnerable state, that Opal meets her unlikely savior.
Yes, the truly pivotal moment. The kind that shows how quickly life can just pivot. It happens right there in the aisles of the Winn-Dixie supermarket.
Yeah.
Opal's there, sees this scruffy dog wrecking the store. And in this flash of quick thinking, maybe a little desperation too, to save him from the pound, she claims him as hers and naturally names him Winn-Dixie after the store.
Ah, perfect name. But this dog, he isn't just a cute companion, is he? How does he fundamentally change things for Opal?
Yeah, he's not merely a pet. He's like the active agent of change, a furry, lovable disruption that literally sources Opal out of her isolation. Think about it. Before him, she was kind of like a turtle herself, retreating into sadness. Winn-Dixie, with his friendly chaos, his need for care, his charming smile, he becomes her social passport.
Huh. A social passport. I like that.
He doesn't just help her make friends. His very presence demands interaction. It pulls her into conversations, one unexpected connection at a time. It's a powerful insight, I think, into how sometimes the biggest changes come from the most unlikely scruffy sources.
It's a great point. And, you know, speaking of Winn-Dixie, it's interesting to look at some of those subtle differences between the book and the movie adaptation. They actually kind of deepen our understanding of the dynamics.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Well, in the film, the story starts with Opal talking to her dad about making friends, and he sends her to the store. But in the book, she goes because of the commotion the dog is already making inside. It shifts the agency a bit, doesn't it?
Absolutely. In the movie, Opal's search for friendship feels more premeditated, almost like a task from her dad. The book, though, presents Winn-Dixie as this spontaneous force of nature, an immediate thing that pulls Opal into action.
Right.
Makes her decision to claim him even more impulsive, more impactful, maybe.
Yeah.
And there's also the difference in her father's reaction. Movie Dad initially doesn't want the dog. Opal has to convince him. Book Dad, though, he quickly understands Winn-Dixie will help Opal adjust. It highlights this quiet, underlying love he struggles to express.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just minor plot tweaks. They subtly shift the emotional landscape, the father-daughter thing.
So as Winn-Dixie wags his way through Naomi, he doesn't just bring Opal joy. He becomes this, like, living magnet, drawing in this incredible tapestry of townsfolk, each with their own unique story, their own quiet battles.
Exactly. It's like Winn-Dixie holds up a mirror, allowing these lonely souls to finally see each other. And more importantly, be truly seen by Opal. Let's dig into some of these fascinating individuals. Each one is a piece of Opal's new community.
Okay, let's do it.
First, there's Miss Franny Block, the town librarian. She's the treasure trove of stories, including that captivating tale of her great-grandfather, Litmus W. Block.
Ah, the inventor.
Yes, the inventor of the peculiar Litmus lozenge candies. She says they tasted sweet, flavors people liked, but they contained a secret ingredient. Melancholy.
Melancholy. In a candy.
Yeah. Anyone who tried them tasted sweetness mixed with sadness. What's truly profound about those candies, beyond just being a fun detail.
Well, it feels like a metaphor for the whole book, right?
Exactly. Miss Franny's tale isn't just a charming anecdote. It encapsulates the entire emotional landscape. Imagine tasting something sweet, but finding that hidden current of sorrow right alongside it.
Yeah.
That's the core message, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joy and grief aren't mutually exclusive. They're often intertwined. It's a gentle but powerful lesson for Opal. And for us, really. Embrace the melancholy within the sweetness. Both are essential parts of being human.
Helps her understand sadness can coexist with happiness. That's huge for a kid dealing with abandonment.
Definitely. And then we meet Otis, the gentle worker at Gertrude's Pets.
Right. Otis.
We learn he's a former convict, went to jail for battering a police officer who tried to take its guitar. He was playing music on the street.
Wow. Okay.
But despite his past, Otis has this remarkably gentle nature. And his music has this profoundly calming effect on all the animals in the store. Opal ends up working for him to earn a dog collar for Winn-Dixie.
That's such a poignant detail, isn't it? A former convict whose music calms animals.
It makes you wonder, right? Does Dick Amillo use Otis to subtly challenge our ideas about who's good or bad?
Especially for kids. Showing kindness from unexpected places.
Absolutely. Otis is a brilliant example of how the book challenges surface judgments. Society labels him criminal, yet he has this incredible gentleness, this connection to living things through music. For Opal, who's dealing with the judgment of her mother leaving, Otis teaches her everyone has layers. Past mistakes don't define your capacity for kindness or your worth. It's a vital lesson in empathy, seeing beyond labels.
Yeah, seeing the quiet goodness. Okay, but maybe the most pivotal connection is with Gloria Dump. Initially seen by other kids as a witch in a scary house, but Opal discovers she's a sweet old blind lady.
And Gloria reveals she's a recovering alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about keeping ghosts away.
What are these ghosts? And how does Gloria, being blind, manage to see with her heart in a way others can't?
Yeah, Gloria Dump, initially seen as a witch because of her appearance, her isolation, but she reveals herself as a recovering alcoholic who talks about keeping ghosts away. It's a brilliant way DiCamillo introduces complex adult struggles to young readers without being, you know, explicit.
Right.
The ghosts aren't literal specters. They're the haunting memories of past mistakes, the pain of regret, the ongoing battle with addiction.
Mm.
For Opal, it's a vital lesson in empathy, understanding that everyone, even the wise old woman, carries hidden burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked about her vision. She's physically blind, yes, but she sees with this profound clarity others miss.
Mm.
She sees with her heart.
She sees with her heart.
Meaning she doesn't judge by appearances or the past or what others say. She sees their true nature, their kindness, their loneliness.
Mm.
For Opal, who feels unseen, misunderstood, Gloria's heart sight is incredibly validating. It's the first time someone truly recognizes her unspoken pain and helps her find her voice. It's powerful. True understanding comes from emotional connection, not just physical sight.
Beyond those central figures, we also meet others, right? Like Amanda Wilkinson.
Yes, Amanda, who always seems sour-faced.
And we find out it's because she lost her younger brother, Carson, who drowned in the town lake just the summer before. So tragic.
Terribly sad. Then there's Sweetie Pie Thomas, a younger girl who just loves Winn-Dixie instantly because she doesn't have a pet.
Aww.
And of course, the brothers, Stevie and Dunlap Dewberry.
The bullies.
They initially bully Opal, yeah. But eventually, through Winn-Dixie's, like, gravitational pull, they become part of her circle too, even if grudgingly at first.
So what does this all mean for Opal? All these characters, their stories, their struggles, they aren't just, like, colorful additions.
Not at all.
They play a vital part in helping Opal find happiness, find love in her new life, building this sort of patchwork family.
And in turn, they themselves find connection, community. They transform from lonely individuals into this vibrant, interconnected group. It's a beautiful cycle of mutual healing.
Which brings us nicely to the central themes woven through the book. It's a children's novel, yes, but it tackles really profound stuff. Loneliness, abandonment, grief, love, divorce, alcoholism, acceptance.
Yeah, big themes.
It also thoughtfully weaves many aspects of cultural diversity into its storyline, as one source put it, both in characters' backgrounds and their emotional experiences.
Exactly. And Oprah's personal journey of healing is a powerful example. During that anxious search for Winn-Dixie in the storm.
Oh, yeah, that part.
A moment where fear really grips her. She has this truly heart-to-heart talk with her dad about her abandonment issues. Through that, she confronts the painful truth. Her mother isn't coming back. But at the same time, she realizes the abundance of love she does have in her current life. From her dad, sure. New friends. It's a huge moment of acceptance.
Mm-hmm. And this journey is beautifully underscored by Gloria Dumpf's advice, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That line resonates so deeply with Opal's feelings of loss. There ain't no way you can hold on to something that wants to go, you understand. You can only love what you got while you got it.
Wow.
Such a profound lesson in acceptance, cherishing the present, not clinging to what's lost or what might have been. It's a message not just for kids, but for all of us, really.
That sentiment really ties everything together. Love and connection exist even amidst loss. And these connections, they culminate in that brilliant idea of the summer party.
Inspired by Gone with the Wind.
Right. Which Opal and Gloria host at Gloria's house. What was once the scary witch house transforms into this warm, inviting place where all these different people come together to celebrate. It's like a physical manifestation of the community they've built.
And the ending perfectly captures this transformation, this new sense of belonging. During the party, a storm scares Winn-Dixie.
Of course.
And he hides under the furniture, causing a brief panic. But as everyone comes together to look for him, they sing one of the preacher's songs, Happy United.
Nice.
Opal eventually finds Winn-Dixie, and in that moment, she has this profound realization. Her life is full of love and support. Even if it's not perfect or exactly what she imagined, she's overcome her sadness, found happiness in the rich, messy, beautiful life she has with her newfound family. It's an affirmation of the love she has, rather than focusing on the love she's lost.
The impact of Winn-Dixie is just undeniable. Look at the accolades. Newbery Honor in 2001, Drizette Frank Award in 2000, Mark Twain Award in 2003.
Pretty impressive list.
Yeah. Also listed in the Teacher's Top 100 Books for Children by the National Education Association in 2007. Ranked number 20 on School Library Journal's Top 100 Children's Novels in 2012.
Yet, if we connect this to the bigger picture, even critically acclaimed works can start debate, right?
It's true.
Because of Winn-Dixie, has faced its share of controversy. It's been heavily criticized, even banned or challenged in some libraries.
Really?
Well, the reasons cited include profanity, the use of words like stupid and retard, and also the depiction of Gloria Dumpf as a recovering alcoholic who discusses keeping ghosts away. It's important we impartially report that these viewpoints exist and have led to challenges against the book. Just shows that even heartwarming stories can be viewed through different lenses, depending on societal norms, individual interpretations.
You know, it's truly eye-opening how a book so widely loved can also face such strong criticism. It really makes you pause and think about, like, evolving standards in children's literature, doesn't it?
It does.
What do you think is at the root of that reaction, especially considering how sensitively DiCamillo handles these themes?
That's a great question. I think part of it stems from different philosophies on what content is appropriate for young readers and whether challenging topics should be introduced explicitly or implicitly. DiCamillo. Through characters like Gloria Dumpf, she clearly opted for a more nuanced, metaphorical approach to heavy themes like addiction, grief. For many, this offers a safe, empathetic way for kids to encounter complex adult realities.
Right.
But for others, even that subtle depiction might be seen as too mature or potentially unsettling without direct adult guidance. And the profanity mentioned, though mild, also touches on different comfort levels with language in kids' books. It's less about the book itself being bad, maybe, and more about the diverse expectations and concerns of parents, educators, communities.
That makes sense. Okay, so beyond the book itself, because of Winn-Dixie has seen its fair share of adaptations, extending its reach even further. Most famously, there was the 2005 family film directed by Wayne Wang, starring Anna Sophia Robb as Opal.
Yeah, and as we touched on earlier, the film did have some subtle but significant differences from the book.
Right, like the landlord.
Exactly. In the book, the landlord doesn't mind Winn-Dixie, making Opal's worry mostly internal. Movie landlord. Pretty forceful about getting rid of him, creating external conflict that pushes Opal's actions.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the initial reaction of Opal's father to the dog, which, as we discussed, subtly changes his character. And the very end book, Winn-Dixie is truly lost under Gloria's bed, emphasizing the community effort to find him. Not just scratching at the door like in the film. Little changes that highlight different storytelling needs, visual versus novel.
And for those who love live performance, there's even been a musical adaptation.
Get out! A musical!
Yeah. Debuted in 2013, directed by John Tartaglia, book and lyrics by Nell Benjamin, music by Duncan Sheik.
Wow, Duncan Sheik.
Yeah, it played at Goodspeed Musicals later in 2019, bringing the story to the stage, proving its appeal across different forms.
That's fantastic.
So, what does this all mean for you, our listener? Because of Winn-Dixie is such a powerful reminder, isn't it, that even in moments of profound loneliness and loss, unexpected friendships and the love we do have can converge. They can create a rich, fulfilling life. It's a testament to the transformative power of connection and healing, and how one small, scruffy dog can open up an entire world of possibility. It's about learning to love what you have while you have it, embracing both the sweetness and the melancholy of life.
And this raises, I think, an important question for all of us listening. In a world of constant information, how do stories like Opal's help us process our own feelings? You know, abandonment, grief, the search for belonging. Not just in childhood, but throughout our lives. What Winn-Dixie moments, those unexpected catalysts or connections, have shaped your own journey and brought unexpected joy?
A truly great thought to ponder. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into Because of Winn-Dixie. We hope you feel thoroughly informed and maybe a little more connected to this wonderful story.